Good morning, early birds. You've caught The Worm, a podcast from Yellowstone Public Radio, rounding up reporting from our newsroom and Montana Public Radio. Today we have stories about Canyon Ferry Reservoir, COVID-19, better known as coronavirus, and why Billings City Council voted to not discuss a welcoming diversity ordinance. It's Thursday, February 27th. I'm your host, Jess Sheldahl. One of the last and largest wild bison populations in North America has begun its migration out of Yellowstone National Park. As the animals enter southwestern Montana, they face hunting and government-sponsored slaughter as part of a population reduction program. State and federal officials want to reduce the park's bison herd this winter by up to 900 animals under an agreement intended to shield Montana's cattle industry from the disease brucellosis. The park has more than 4,000 bison. Hunters from American Indian tribes with treaty rights in the Yellowstone region have killed more than 50 bison leaving the park so far this year. Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks will lift mandatory boat launch restrictions and decontaminations at Canyon Ferry Reservoir this season, following 3 years of no new invasive mussel detections. Eric Young reports.
3 years after first being listed as a suspect water body for zebra and quagga mussels, Canyon Ferry will no longer require boats to be inspected as they exit the lake. FWP this season will use a single inspection station at the Silos boat ramp at Canyon Ferry and a roving crew for stations around the Missouri River system. Fish, Wildlife, and Parks Aquatic Invasive Species Bureau Chief Thomas Wolf says redirecting staff and equipment could help prevent future invasive species from entering Montana.
You know, the resources that were formerly used in Canyon Ferry will be pushed out to the state borders, so we will strengthen our hours of operation for border stations and also extending the season for operation.
The agency received 23 public written comments on its proposal to delist Canyon Ferry as a mussel-infested water body, with most boaters agreeing that while mussels are a serious threat, the state should focus on out-of-state boats where they originate. Regional aquatic invasive species guidelines allow the state to delist a lake as suspect after 3 years of no new detections. Restrictions on Tiber Reservoir, where mussel larvae were found in 2016, will remain in place for 2 more years barring new detections. Since 2016, FWP has tripled the amount of samples gathered with plankton tow nets, detection dogs, divers, and substrates with no further evidence of mussel larvae found. Still, Flathead Lake Biological Station Research Coordinator Phil Mattson says it's too soon to say the threat is gone.
We still have to be vigilant all the time, even though we're not finding them. It just takes one boat. It takes two mussels, but one boat to infest our waters.
More than 10,000 boats were inspected in Montana last year, with inspectors blocking 16 boats with mussel samples before they could enter the water. The stations at Canyon Ferry are set to open on May 16th. With Yellowstone Public Radio, I'm Eric Young.
The COVID-19 virus has Montana Health Department officials hoping for the best, but preparing for the worst. Jim Murphy, chief of the agency's Communicable Disease Bureau, says there's currently a low risk of infection in the United States.
However, we know that that may not be the case, you know, much longer, and we're trying to prepare for, you know, what could be coming our way.
Murphy spoke with Montana Public Radio as President Donald Trump held a press conference in which he said the U.S. government is, quote, very, very ready, unquote, for whatever the new coronavirus threat brings. Murphy says American health officials are contending with plenty of unanswered questions, including how the virus spreads and the most effective treatments.
What we do in these situations is we try to watch very closely what is happening in other parts of the world. We're fortunate not to be the first areas impacted, so we can learn a lot from what is working in other areas and then try to figure out how to apply those things here.
Murphy notes U.S. health officials are at least better positioned than their Chinese counterparts to slow the spread of the COVID-19 strain. But he adds even one confirmed case would drain significant resources in Montana.
Right now, a single case would be overwhelming to a local jurisdiction and really test our systems.
Murphy advises Montanans to avoid sick people, wash hands frequently, cover coughs and sneezes, and if sick, stay away from work or school. Anaconda Deer Lodge County has reached a nearly $30 million agreement with a former oil producer to clean up an old smelter site. The agreement reached between the county and the Atlantic Richfield Company was first reported by the Montana Standard. The proposed agreement is a critical step in the cleanup of the massive Anaconda smelter site, which covers around 300 square miles in the Deer Lodge Valley. The smelter was placed on the National Superfund list in the early 1980s as a result of environmental damage from decades of mining and smelting. The wide-ranging cleanup agreements includes more than $28 million in community development funding over the next 25 years, with about $9 million to be paid within the first year. The settlement funds will go toward expanding Anaconda's attic dust removal program, as well as economic development. Billings City Council won't be considering a welcoming diversity ordinance LGBTQ community members have pushed for. A 7-4 vote on Monday means the ordinance will not be on the agenda in August. The ordinance would have extended legal protections to LGBTQ people and other minorities. Police officers waved metal detectors as over 100 people entered the single entry point at City Hall as part of heightened security measures for Monday's City Council meeting. People from Billings and Laurel gave public comments on the proposed welcoming diversity ordinance for 2 hours. Public opinion split almost perfectly down the middle. Supporters shared stories about discrimination they've faced personally or against their family members and said an ordinance would benefit Billings financially and culturally.
I'm a student at Skyview High School and I'm here today to show my support for the welcoming diversity ordinance and the positive effects it will have on the Billings community.
LGBTQ discrimination exists all over the United States, and Montana is no exception.
The WDO is too important for Billings not to continue the discussion.
Opponents said they feared an ordinance would be used against those who do not support LGBTQ people due to their religious beliefs. They also said they believe LGBTQ people already have legal protections.
There's a lot of pain that's being talked about up here, and I'm sorry that that happens in our community. But there's another side to this, where people of faith are being persecuted.
This ordinance would be a disaster for business owners.
To compromise the very religious beliefs that inspire their lives.
The proposed Billings ordinance would have prohibited discrimination in housing, jobs, or public services based on race, religion, sex, age, marital status, disability, sexual orientation, and gender identity.
So just a reminder, the motion is to put this on the August 24th agenda.
Before the vote, Mayor Bill Cole expressed his opposition to the ordinance, saying it wouldn't fix the problem of discrimination and the council needs to focus on the upcoming public safety mill levy.
All who are in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
And those who are opposed say nay.
No.
Nay.
Councilwoman Penny Ronning, who introduced the draft, said she disagreed with her fellow council members' reasoning for not adding the ordinance to the August agenda.
To state that someone can support language in a draft is shocking to me. A draft means it can be changed. That's how democracy works.
Kylie Lammers helped organize support for the ordinance with the advocacy group 406 Pride and said after the vote,
tonight people did not separate church and state like they should. They voted based on their religious beliefs and based on whether they think it's okay to be an LGBTQ person versus whether as city council members they need to protect everyone of their constituents equally.
Monday's 7-4 vote against discussing an ordinance implies Billings is further away from passing an NDO than it was in 2014, when council members voted against adopting a similar ordinance by a vote of 6-5. The content of the welcoming diversity ordinance also resembles the non-discrimination ordinance City Council canceled plans to introduce in October. When asked what the LGBTQ community of Billings plans to do in light of the vote, Judy Hanrahan with 406 Pride said,
I'm going to start forwarding them the emails that we get from people that
are interested in our community but want to know if we have an NDO.
Missoula, Helena, Butte, Bozeman, and Whitefish all have non-discrimination ordinances. Helena, Bozeman, and Whitefish adopted their ordinances unanimously. The Montana Constitution protects people from discrimination based on race, sex, social background, and political or religious ideas. A bill to change the Constitution to include LGBTQ people failed last legislative session. For Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Jess Sheldahl. And that's what's happening in Montana today. Check in with Montana Public Radio's Montana Evening News for updates on the news of the day. For Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Jess Sheldahl. We'll have another episode of The Worm for you early birds tomorrow morning.
The Worm is produced by Jess Sheldahl for Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music composed and recorded by Zach Jones at Rapscallion Recording. Meadowlark Call captured by Jay McGowan for the Macaulay Library. Partial funding for The Worm is provided by the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montana. More information about The Worm is available at ypradio.org.